Yeah, and House Judiciary Committee, I'll come to order, please. We've got a pretty lengthy agenda in terms of the bills that our subcommittees have been completing their recommendations on, particularly Senate bills. And of course, we've got 323 at the top of our agenda. I'd like to try to move the course as expeditiously as possible. Rep. St. Dix.
Mr. Chair, having voted on the prevailing side of Senate Bill 323, I would move for reconsideration of that vote at this time. And once you place the motion, I'll explain my intention.
Okay, Rep. St. Dix moves reconsideration of the vote by which the committee passed to the floor Senate Bill 323. Rep. St. Dix.
To the motion, there are a couple of errors that we found in the bill which Representative Phillips is going to address. And Ms. Weber pointed out last night a section that we left entirely out of the bill. I believe it's Section 29 regarding reporting of verdicts to the State Court Administrator's Office. I'd like that included in the bill along with the corrections Representative Phillips has. Once that's finished, I intend to move for passage once again of 323. Hopefully, that's the last we'll see of it until it hits the floor.
Okay, Representative Dix has moved for reconsideration of the vote by which 323 passed. There's no further discussion. The clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
No.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Ringer?
Aye.
Representative Dix.
I'd like to move that we insert, and leaving it up to council, we insert section, I believe, 29 of 323, C engrossed. And if Ms. Weber could just check that section just to make sure that's the right one.
It is the right one.
It is the right one? Okay. I would like to move for adoption of that section into the de-engrossed version, which I believe people have copies of at this time.
It's page 10, line 41.
Insert it. That's where you want it?
Yes,
page 10, line 41, I believe, is the suggested insertion point.
Okay, we will... is out of the amendments or of the de-engrossed? De-engrossed. Okay. Representative Dix has moved inclusion of section 29 of the C-engrossed printed bill relating to certain reporting requirements and data collection required of the court system. Is there further discussion? Is there any objection to that motion and that amendment? If not, be adopted. Rep. St. Phillips.
On the same document, the proposed de-engrossed Senate Bill 323, on page 5, line 12, after the word felony, the language should read felony contained in ORS Chapter 161 to 169. That's consistent with the other descriptions used previously in the criminal conduct section of 10.
Okay, Representative Phillips moves on page 5, line 12 of the proposed de-engrossed bill that following felony, we add the additional language contained in ORS chapters 161 to 169. Is that your motion?
Correct.
Okay, Representative Phillips is so moved to be consistent with the language found at line 8 in the same section. Any objection to that amendment? If not, that amendment is adopted. Rep. St. Phillips.
Mr. Chair, on page 10 of the same document, section 26, sub 6, line 27, the word dispose is used, and the actual word is depose.
Depose.
So I would suggest we strike dispose and insert depose. And that's my motion.
Well, you never know. Particularly in this context. Okay, Representative Phillips, on line 27 of page 10 of the proposed de-engrossed bill, that dispose be corrected to read depose. Any further discussion? Any objection to that amendment? If not, be adopted. Representative Phillips?
Mr. Chair, I would move D and Gross Senate Bill 323 as amended today to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Representative Phillips moves.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me. Representative Hanlon.
There's another one in here that I wanted to bring to Representative Phillips' attention.
Typographical error or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not a typo. It's where the liquor liability section on the study done.
Okay.
And I forgot what section it was.
Liquor's on page 6.
No, the study on liquor liability. Do you know where that is in the D and Gross?
Mm. It may be at section 16, if that's... Yeah.
Section 16, page... Try page 6, section 16, I think.
That's where we require the insurance commissioner to conduct a study?
Yeah, well, sub... Okay. Oh, yes. Line 35, the fifth word, I believe should be implications. Am I correct?
That is
okay.
Correct.
That's the one I've...
It's a lot of fluid slips in there.
I don't really think that's... I think it was correct the original way, speaking from the non-legal side.
Okay. Representative Hanlon on line 35, page 6 of the proposed D and Gross bill has moved that for the word complications, we insert the word implications. Any objection to that? If not, a few other Freudian statements here. Representative Miller.
Same page, page 6, line 22. I believe the word alcohol should be alcoholic beverages.
Okay, that would be consistent with the language on line 24. On page 6, line 22 of the proposed D and Gross bill, Representative Miller moves that for alcohol, we complete that and make that alcoholic beverages. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
After doing that and picking it to pieces that way, I want to say that the Office of Legislative Counsel has been magnificent in their efforts given the conditions and circumstances.
That's right. So noted for the record. Any further discussion? Any objection to that amendment, page 6, line 22? If not, anything else before I place Representative Phillips' motion? Okay, if not, Representative Phillips has moved the proposed D and Gross bill as further amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
No.
Aye.
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 No.
Aye.
Aye.
Votes no. Motion's adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hanlon.
I give notice of possible minority report.
Representative Hanlon serves notice of a possible minority report consistent with House rules that would have to be filed not later than 5 p.m. tomorrow. It's my understanding that folks who are the proponents would like to discuss the responsibility for carrying the measure. I'm going to allow Representative Phillips and Dix to make the recommendations in terms of the format, and council will be preparing the staff measure analysis. We've got most of that work has been completed through our process, and I've asked council to prepare a draft of that to be reviewed by myself, and I certainly would be more than glad to share that analysis with the folks who will be carrying the bill on the floor so that they've got a chance to check it out as well. It's my expectation that since there has been notice of a minority report that the matter would be filed with the clerk by 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, let's move on then to the balance of our agenda. We've got more than a dozen bills scheduled for work session. I'd like to move through those as quickly as circumstances will permit. The first bill up for work session is Senate Bill 216. Representative Dix? Were you seeking to be recognized?
No.
Why not?
I've been recognized enough for the last 3 days, Mr. Chair.
The recognition that you deserve is only begun, Representative Dix. And I'm sure that can be said of all of us.
Yes, yes, we will get our just rewards for a long time.
You mean this is going to be the last that we see all these smiling faces?
Everybody, look at this.
Yeah, conference.
Go ahead, just walk out.
What to talk to the doctor about?
Smiling faces or just faces?
Faces. We guaranteed somebody a smile somewhere before it was all over. Okay, 216.
I think that came out of my subcommittee, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay, do we know who the counsel is for that? Or we maybe? Okay, Mr. Taylor, do you want to introduce that to us briefly?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. The current law provides the Attorney General should represent the state. The Attorney General should represent the state, shall identify district attorneys if they are sued in the course of carrying out their duties. As it relates to deputy or assistant district attorneys, the county has a responsibility for doing this. This bill would include deputy district attorneys, special prosecutors, and law students who are the prosecutorial with the compliance of those represented by the Attorney General and identified by the state. What this would do is allow basically one person to represent them, and it would reduce the cost. I would assume that if there were a conflict, which it very seldom is, that the outside counsel would be appointed in that case.
Okay, and there were amendments adopted in subcommittee?
That's correct. They were passed out.
Okay. Representative Burton.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, this has come back to mind now. The amendment that was made, the question of what the Department of General Services does, they are directed to pay those reasonable defense expenditures and identify the liabilities of the officers and one thing like that. So with that amendment, which was adopted in subcommittee, I would move Senate Bill 216 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Burton moves Senate Bill 216 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Melanie?
Aye.
Aye.
Burton? Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Bauman? Thank you. Okay, 177, related to driving under the influence of intoxicants.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, that's from Subcommittee 2. This deals with DUII diversion programs, this diversion is a procedure which, under first-time DUII offenders, may submit to an evaluation and treatment program. If that's successful, then the DUII is dismissed. Under current law, the petition for diversion has to be filed within 30 days after the defendant's first appearance, except if good cause is shown. A recent Court of Appeals decision held that a diversion petition could be considered even after the defendant had been tried and convicted of a DUII. The result is inconsistent with the goals of diversion, both to rehabilitate the drinking driver and to assist the course in overcrowded dockets. This bill would prohibit the filing of a diversion petition after a guilty plea or after the commencement of a trial on DUII charge. It would require the defendant to elect either diversion or trial, but not both. And that just, it clears up that conflict. And I would move Senate Bill 177 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, thank you. Representative Burton moves Senate Bill 177 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Melanie?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Miller, would you like the honors on this one?
Sure, I'd be delighted, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think your bullshit fails.
Senate Bill 297.
I think that's also...
There's an error here. This came from 741, so Representative Burton was not from Representative Burton's committee. That's my fault.
Why don't you introduce the bill briefly, and then I'll place a motion.
It's a bill, Mr. Chairman, that relates to the statute of limitations and uniform conflicts of laws procedure. And what it does is set forth a procedure for this state that would be in keeping with most other states. That would determine what statute of limitations would apply in a case in Oregon where there was a diversity of citizenship or diversity of jurisdiction.
Okay. No amendments? Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 297 to pass.
Thank you.
To the floor.
Representative Hanlon moves Senate Bill 297 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Solomon?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Aye.
Votes aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers? Representative Hanlon? A nice border district. No contacts up there, I'm sure. Okay, let's try 1039 relating to administration of states.
Mr. Chairman, in a recent Oregon Supreme Court case, the court determined there's no explicit statutory authority for a longstanding Oregon probate court practice in allowing partial payments to state administration expenses. This presents a particular problem in a larger estate, particularly if there's a small business involved or an ongoing farm. And the state, as you know, can stay open for several years. And this presents a problem. And what this bill will do is allow partial payment by the court upon showing that no penalty can reasonably be filed at the time and after notice is directed by the court.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dix.
I will move Senate Bill 1039 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Dix moves Senate Bill 1039.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative. I would move Senate Bill 1039 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Dix moves Senate Bill 1039 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Allen?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Bunn, would you like the honors on this one? Thank you. Okay, Senate Bill 221. I believe this came from Sub 2.
Mr. Chairman, and relating to, this is the Common School Fund bill. In Article 8 of the Constitution requires proceeds from the sale of forfeited property, to go to the Common School Fund. In an Attorney General's opinion, identified several statutes which direct the proceeds from forfeitures to a fund other than the Common School Fund. And the statutes which are listed in the, are found listed in the staff measure analysis, there's five of them, and it allows certain funds to go to Liquor Control Commission and some other ones. This bill amends the statutes which are listed in the staff measure analysis to direct the proceeds from any forfeited items go to the Common School Fund and clarifies those statutes which, that are ambiguous as to where the proceeds would go. And that would get us consistent with the Constitution. And I should point out that it's those funds which are clear, in other words, after costs have been incurred, it's the proceeds that are left after that, and those go in the Common School Fund. So the measure is intended to get us sync with the Constitution, and I would move Senate Bill 221 to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Burton moved Senate Bill 221 to the floor for the due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion?
Question of Representative Burton.
Representative Hanlon. Okay.
Representative Burton, does this change the existing practice? In other words, were some of these funds going to other than the common school fund at the present time?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the you can take the staff measure analysis and take a look at any of those that are on there. For example, ORS 496680. In some cases, it's a matter of the statutes not being specific and saying they're going to the common school fund. In some cases, those funds probably did not were put into back into the general fund or into the fund of a particular agency. And but in most cases, it simply was not. It did not direct it to the common school fund, so it went back into the general fund. The question that was raised during the committee was there any kind of fiscal impact on this? And generally, it was felt that there would not be because it wasn't significant enough in the future. These would be future funding.
Another question.
Representative Hamlin.
Did State Lands Division come in and testify?
No.
We did.
Did they?
Well, we do have a letter from the Attorney General addressed to Ed Zajon, the Director of the Division of State Lands, in response to Mr. Zajon's request for assistance in identifying some laws that were inconsistent with the constitutional requirement that forfeitures go to the common school fund. So the Division of State Lands is informed and involved with what's going on in the legislation, evidently, Representative Hamlin.
And if I could add, Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that there was any finding that there was any of the particular state lands statutes that were not consistent with the constitutional provision. Most of them that you'll notice listed there are State Fish and Wildlife Commission statutes and liquor control.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion on Senate Bill 221.
Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
I guess it's a good idea. I'm going to vote for the bill, but I can see why they gave the Oregon Liquor Control Commission back the liquor when it was being used inconsistently with the law. Since you would have to assume that they bought it from the OLCC to start with, at least you otherwise are in more trouble than just forfeiture. So I guess I can see where some of these issues may make it a little more complicated. I'd feel more comfortable if I knew what the Division of State Lands, how they got rid of small pieces of property, because the confiscation of guns and a fish and wildlife violation of the law is more common than people want to believe, and that also includes vehicles. So I just will make the assumption that the Division of State Lands has a method by which they can collect and get rid of these vehicles.
Okay, further comment or discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon and Representative Miller.
I can assure this committee, in my district, in the Astoria area, such confidence does not exist in the Division of State Lands.
Yeah, but it may not be any better with the State Fish and Wildlife Commission in your district, Representative Hanlon.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to observe for Representative Bellamy, I don't know what a good idea this is. If this seems to be making the statutes consistent with the constitutional mandate.
That's
we can still argue the policy, but maybe if you want to change the Constitution, then once you run a referendum.
Member Representative Miller, for a non-lawyer, that sort of argument doesn't really bother me too much.
Picky, picky, picky.
Okay. Further discussion.
You're saying you just don't bother with the Constitution? Is that
if there's no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll on 221.
Bellman?
Yes. Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Nay.
Miller?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers on this one?
Bellamy?
Representative Burton, thank you. Okay, 3351.
House Bill 3351 authorizes insurers to offer uninsured motorist coverage in amounts greater than the amount of coverage for motor vehicle bodily injury liability. The bill also establishes a 30-day period after which personal injury protection benefits will be overdue, and it provides for an 18% interest on overdue PIP benefits. The bill also provides that the PIP payments cannot be used to decrease the policy limits of the uninsured motorist coverage.
Okay. This came from Subcommittee 1, I believe.
Right, with the Dash 2 amendments.
With the Dash 2 amendments adopted. Okay. Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chair, I'll move 3351 as amended to the floor with the 2,000.
Okay, Representative Hanlon moves House Bill 3351 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bunn.
I would like to speak against passage of this bill and urge the committee to defeat the bill. I think there are several problems with it. First, it requires that 18% insurance be, or 18% interest be paid on late PIP coverage, and there has been no provision for interest payments between the parties in these kinds of transactions before, and I think it's ironic that Oregon Fair Share that has objected to those kind of interest charges on Visa cards puts the very amendment in, or proposes the amendment that has the 18% here, and that seems to me to be inconsistent. Also, it's allowing a person to insure themselves for $300,000 when they only provide insurance to other parties for $25,000. I remember Mr. Bessonette's testimony, and I agree with it, that that's bad public policy, and I simply think that the bill as it's now written is not good policy.
Thank you. Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chair,
any comment?
No, I think we discussed it at some length.
Okay. If there's any further discussion? Representative Burton.
This is a little on side, but is PIP insurance available to motorcyclists? Is it just mostly automobile vehicles?
I believe not. Mr. Powell, can you help us out there a little bit?
I don't think. I'm with motorcycles.
With or without helmets?
Mr. Chairman, John Powell, State Farm Insurance. Mr. Chairman, I think for the most part, PIP coverage is not available. I do believe, however, that some companies do offer it, and I believe that it's embarrassing. I think maybe it's State Farm that does. I'm not sure.
Okay. Further questions?
I think motorcycles should be banned.
That's another bill. Okay, there's no further if there's no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
No. No.
Aye.
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 No.
No.
Votes aye. Motion's adopted.
I give notice of a possible minority report.
Okay. Representative Bunn, notice of possible minority report. Okay, House Bill 3116.
House Bill 3116 comes from Subcommittee 1. The measure provides that a liquor licensee shall not knowingly allow a visibly intoxicated person to continue to consume alcoholic beverages. The purpose of the measure is to prevent further consumption of alcohol after the point of visible intoxication. The bill, as amended, also provides that a licensee shall be liable for damages that are incurred by a minor if the licensee served alcoholic beverages to the minor and the minor goes out and has some sort of accident.
Okay. Representative Hanlon?
Mr. Chair, I'll move 3116 to the floor with due pass.
Okay, Representative Hanlon moves House Bill 3116 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let me back up for just a moment. 3351, I don't believe I indicated the carrier. The chair will carry that. Okay, Representative Hanlon is so moved on House Bill 3116 as amended. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Was 3116 amended?
Yes, it was.
Yep, the dash one amendments.
There should be available before you. If
I've got them now. Can somebody tell us was there a definite need for this amendment expressed to the committee?
I think the short answer is yes, and I believe among the proponents were Ms. Barbara Stoeffler from Eugene, who's a member of the Governor's Advisory Committee on DUII.
Well, I guess the question comes as this.
Go ahead.